Sliens LV podcasts.
Sveiciens visiem motorsporta līdzjutējiem. Šis ir F1 LV podkasts un mans vārds ir Aldis Putniņš. Pēc ziemas brīvdienām un nelielu pārtraukumu esam atgriežušies arī pie podkastu veidošanas, un šoreiz podkasts pilnībā būs veltīts mūsu igauņu kaimiņu jaunajam talentam Ralfu Māronam. Ralfu Māronu satiku šogad jau otro reizi Igaunijā Tallinā pa ziemu, kamēr viņš atrodas savā dzimtenē. Protams, sezonas laikā sastapt Ralfu ir krietni grūtāk, tāpēc ir laba iespēja izmantot šo ziemas pārtraukumu, kamēr viņš atpūšas savās mājās, jo ar šo sezonu turklāt viņš arī ir uzsācis mācības Šveicē, tāpēc vēl retāk atradīsies mūsu platuma grādos. Lai nu kā jaunā sezona gaidām jau trešā pēc kārtas viņam F3 čempionātā, par to visu vairāk un sīkāk šajā podkastā, bet vispirms, lai pats Ralfs Ārons pastāst par to, kā tad sākās viņa karjera un pirmsākumi motorsportā un kā tad viņš iesēdās pirmo reizi kartingā.
It all started for me, when I was little already, I was really fascinated by engines and especially motorbikes. That was my main thing that I wanted to do. I was begging my father for, I think, 2 or 3 years to get me a motocross bike. And then he finally did, and then I drove that all the time. But my dad never, well, my parents, my mother and my father never wanted me to race motorcycles because it's so dangerous and people get hurt all the time. So my dad put me in go-karts just to, I think in an interview somewhere he said he put me in go-karts and thought he'll race a couple of years, get over it, and then stop at some point. But I went into go-karts and the things started getting better, and now, I know, it seems like I started yesterday, but now I'm here. I mean, for me it was always a hobby. I was never, compared to like I've spoken to a lot of the other guys who were racing with me in F3, they always, already in karting, they had a plan that this is what they're gonna do and this is their main thing and they want to become professional race car drivers. For me it was always in karting just for fun, and I really enjoyed doing it, and I mean, I was still doing it at a hobby level, let's say. And then when I went to cars, it was because karting already got so serious that it was either choose a top team, go to either Tony Kart or whatever the top teams in karting are. And then when we got the budgets from that, we thought this is so much that maybe car racing is the same. And because it was a hobby for me, we found out the car racing is more or less, is even cheaper, entry-level car racing. So we thought, I just want to try cars. And then I went to Formula 1 1.6. And over there, it just started building up. I never went in there hoping I will win, or I didn't think I could win. But as the season developed, we got pretty good and I finished second overall.
Tieši pārēja no kartinga uz mazajām formulas sērijām, es domāju, ka ir lielākā problēma Latvijas jaunajiem kartingistiem, jo šis solis ir pārāk augsts, pārāk dārgs, un ļoti bieži kartingisti pie tā arī apstājas, neturpinot savu karjeru formulas sērijās. Nu, kā dzirdējām, Ralfam Āronam situācija ir, vai viņa lēmums turpināt karjeru ir bijis varbūt nedaudz negaidīts un atšķirīgs, un šoreiz vienkārši izvēloties pareizo čempionātu, tika nolemts turpināt karjeru nevis kartingā, bet gan formulās. Un tieši tāpēc arī vēlējos nedaudz vairāk un konkrētāk noskaidrot pie Ralfa Ārona, un es ļoti ceru, šī informācija varbūt arī noderēs mūsu jaunajiem kartingistiem.
I think now it's definitely more, the money side is definitely always there, because when I went into cars, I went to Formula 1.6, which was entry-level Formula, and it was cheaper than to race in a top-level karting team in Europe. And, I mean, I did it all differently. I didn't go the traditional route that you work really hard and you plan a formula step and then you go. It just happened, I don't know, like this. Within 1 month, we decided we go from karting to car racing. I didn't do any winter testing or nothing. I maybe did 5 or 6 days in the car before the first race. And it was really just for fun. But then it started, I mean, it was still expensive, but it wasn't as bad as it is right now. I mean, right now I see in Formula 4, if you actually want to see something, like, where do you even stand? Are you even quick in a Formula car? you have to put in so much money and so much testing because it's unlimited in Formula 4. And the drivers come in from karting do 50 days, 60 days before the first race. And every day is a lot of money. And if you just don't have the budget, maybe even you're a really good driver. But if you don't do the testing days, then always the guys who have put in the work are usually going to be better. Of course, there are exceptions, but it's always difficult when you don't do the same program as the others.
Nākamais solis jaunajiem talantiem un kartingistiem būtu atrast pareizo padomdevēju. Ralfs Ārons tiešām pie tāda tika, un tas bija Marko Asmers, un joprojām ir Marko Asmers, kurš nu tā nosacīti varētu būt Ralfa Ārona menedžers. Un aizmirstam, ka Marko Asmers ir tieši tas Baltijas braucējs, kurš ir ticis vistālāk formulu klasēs. Atsmēs savulaik viņš bija Williams F1 komandas testu pilots. Tie, kas, protams, grib vairāk uzzināt par pašu Marko Asmeru, var pameklēt Wikipēdijā un citur viņa rezultātus, jo šoreiz tomēr stāsts būs par Ralfu Āronu, bet vēlreiz gribu uzsvērt, cik ļoti ir svarīgi pareizais padoms un pieredze. Un skaidrs, ka Marko Asmers bija gājis cauri daudziem šiem čempionātiem, bija guvis rūkt pieredzi uz savas ādas, bet pats galvenais bija nodibinājis ļoti, ļoti svarīgus kontaktus, savācis pareizās vizītkartes un telefonus, un tagad var likt to visu lietā, lai palīdzētu jau Ralfam Āronam.
The first time he actually helped me was when I was at the end of my karting career. We were looking at the end of the year to go join a top team just to see how it is and so on. And Marco previously raced in Tony Kart, the factory racing team, and then he got us a deal to race for two races for Tony Kart. That was the first time Marco helped us. Then when I went to Formula Renault, it was Kevin Cortes who was mainly helping me all the time. He was our driver coach over there, and he'd been through the Formula Renault route. And he was guiding me. But then at the end of the year, when we started looking for teams and so on, we started to look into Prema. And Marco had previously worked with Prema a lot. And that's where Marco stepped in. And he said, don't go to Renault 2 liter, go to Formula 4. Because the FIA is building the ladder they're doing right now. That the F3 European Championship and GP3 are both going to go, and then there's going to be one F3 Championship. So the FIA is building a ladder, F4, F3, F2, F1. And Marco knew that because he had been in the thing. We had no idea about it. We wanted to go through the Renault route. Then, yeah, Marco said go to F4, got us a deal with Prema and the first test, and we did a winter race. I won that race, so everything just worked really well with Prema, and we decided to do F4 with them.
Ralf Āron teiktais vēlreiz pierāda, cik ļoti svarīgs ir padomdevējs ar pareizajiem kontaktiem. Marko Asmers, acīm redzot, arī bija viens no tiem, kas pirms iepriekšējās sezonas Ralfam Āronam piedāvāja iespēju pāriet no Prema komandu uz high-tech vienību. Tobrīd Prema komanda bija nenoliedzama vadošā komanda, tomēr tā sastāvā startē 3-4 braucēji un bija skaidrs, ka izcīnīja čempionu titulu Prema sastāvā. Tas jau ir absolūti pašsaprotam. Līdz ar to var būt čempionu titulam Prema sastāvā nedaudz arī kritās vērtība. Tādējādi pat trešā vieta citas komandas sastāvā F3 čempionātā, speciālista acīs varētu tikt uzskatīt par augstvērtīgāku panākumu. Tieši tāpēc tika izlemts pievienoties high-tech komandai uz 2017. Gada sezonu. Kā tas izdevās, ar kādiem rezultātiem tas viss beidzās, lai stāst pats Ārons.
Not as we expected, because already at the end of 2016, I felt that Prema doesn't really inside the team. I saw some conflicts that I didn't like, and I thought the team doesn't work as well as they should, as they worked in F4. So we started looking elsewhere, and we got a really good deal with high-tech. Budget-wise, it was a really good deal for us, and also with the backing of Nikita Mazepin, high-tech had a lot of money, the new car was coming out, and it seemed just like a logical step because they have the money to develop the car. They had the best engineers on the grid and everything, so it looked like high-tech is the best way to go because they wanted to win really bad. Everyone wanted to win, but high-tech was putting in a lot of money, a lot of effort, they had all the people, and it just seemed like a right step. But during winter testing already, there was some doubt from me and Jake Hughes, my former teammate in Hi-Tech, and unfortunately when we came to the first race it was all upside down and we were the worst team on the grid. At the second round we were really thinking what to do. It's either, I mean, it's not smart to just waste that a lot of money just to drive last, but then we realized that we found something on the car that was getting better and better. And actually, within the motorsport community, everyone sees what you're doing, what you're capable of, and so on. And that's what I kept telling myself as well. I mean, even if your results maybe aren't that good, then all the important people who are at the track, they know that the car is bad, and they see what you are doing as a driver. So I just kept pushing really hard, and we started developing the car. And to be honest, at the end of the year, I think we had one of the strongest cars on the grid. The only problem last year again was that Mercedes was just a little bit slower than Volkswagen. So even when we had the best chassis, in my opinion, at the end of the season, then just Volkswagen engine was a little bit better, and it was always really difficult. I mean, I think the Prema deal clearly shows as well that even though I didn't have the results, I was ninth in the championship or something, but still I got the top drive for this year. And I think this clearly shows that even if you have a bad season or a bad car in some sort, if you do a good job, then you can still make good things out of it.
Rezultāta izteiksmē Ralfam Āronam tiešām pagājušais gads Eiropas F3 čempionātā izrādījās pagaidām pats neveiksmīgākais, jo kopvērtējumā viņš atkrita uz 9. vietu, atceramies, 9. sezonā viņš finišēja 7. pozīcijā. Pēc tika izcīnīti tikai 2 goda piedestāli, bet es domāju, pats galvenais bija šī tēze attiecībā par to, ka motorsporta aprindās cilvēki saprot situāciju, un viņi noteikti novērtēs to, ka pilots strādā pat ne pašā konkurētspējīgākajā komandā, un spēja sezonas laikā šo komandu pagriezt pareizā virzienā un likt savu ieguldījumu, lai tā attīstītos tālāk. Tieši tas, acīm redzot, ir nostrādājis šoreiz par labu arī Ralfam Āronam, un kādi tad ir viņa mērķi uz 2018. Gada sezonu? Manuprāt, šeit nevar būt divu domu, jācīnās ir par čempionu titulu.
You always go to win. You never say I'm going and trying to get the second place. I definitely want to win the championship, and that's the goal. And that's, I mean, Prema got me in as a driver to also have a strong bid to the championship. And to be honest, I think we're capable of doing it. It's my third year. I think experience counts a lot in F3, and it's just up to us right now to get it done. The only thing I'm actually worried about is we already did winter testing and we got the car pretty good. I liked it a lot. At the beginning was really rough, but at the end I was really quick and the team was happy with me. I was getting better and better with the car, and we still have some ideas. But the only thing I'm honestly still worried about is I think the engine part plays a big role. As we could see this year, Volkswagen was a lot better at the beginning of the season, and that just gave them a clear lead in the championship, and there was just nothing Mercedes drivers could really do. And next year, I mean, in Macau, Mercedes made a good step, and that was one of the reasons why I signed with Prema as well. I was hesitating until Macau because Mercedes was just slow this year. But I think Mercedes made a step, and it's really crucial. Well, we can only see in the first round, but I think it's really crucial that the engines are equal. If Mercedes is slower again, it's going to be really difficult.
Arī Formula 3 čempionātā dzinēja jautājumam ir milzīga nozīme, bet šeit ir ļoti liela atšķirība no pirmās formulas. Redzam, ka Mercedes F3 čempionātā šobrīd ir nedaudz aiz Volkswagen, vismaz tā tas bija iepriekšējā sezonā. Nu, sezonas beigām ir parādījušās pazīmes, ka Mercedes varētu pielikt savā konkurētspējas līmenī, un to arī cerēsim jaunajā sezonā. Kas pilnīgi noteikti būs izšķiroši Ralfam Āronam, un acīm redzot, šī ir tā sezona, kas ir pati svarīgākā viņa karjerā, viss noteļ izšķiroša, un tā varētu arī noteikt, kurā virzienā pēc tam tad karjerā dosies Ralfs Ārons. Tad turpinās savu ceļu uz pirmo formulu, iespējams caur Formulu 2 čempionātu, vai tomēr skatīsies kādā citā virzienā. Tāpēc loģisks bija mans nākamais jautājums Ralfam Āronam, vai viņš izjūt papildus psiholoģisko spiedienu, vai viņš pats apzinās, cik šobrīd ir ļoti izšķiroši šajā sezonā uzrādīt labus rezultātus.
To be honest, I'm not that worried about the pressure, because actually in F4 it was the beginning of the season, the F4 deal we made with Prema was that if I win the championship, I get to go to F3 with them. If I don't, then I don't. So we always had the pressure in F4 as well that to win the championship, because otherwise we don't get an F3 drive. And Zhu had the same thing, and I got the F3 place in Prema, and he did, because I won the championship. So I'm actually looking forward to the pressure, because it seems like the more pressure I have, then sometimes it makes me push more. I mean, always if you have too much pressure it's bad, but a little bit I think it's actually good.
Izskatās, ka ar psiholoģisko noturību esam igauniem viss ir kārtībā. Starp citu, Rolfam Āronam, kā esat pamanījuši, ir ļoti laba angļu valoda. Pagājušā gadā pēc vidusskolas pabeigšanas viņš ir iestājies arī augstskolā un turpina mācības biznesa vadībā Šveicē, Luzānas universitātē. Un tas nozīmē, ka nav licis visu uz vienu kārti, un proti, ja kaut kas nesanāks autosportā, tad viss iespējas viņam ir turpināt arī karjeru citā jomā. Katrā ziņā viņš tiek uzskatīts par vienu no inteliģentākajiem jaunajiem sportistiem visā Formula 3 čempionātā. Lai nu kā, nākamajā sezonā viņam tagad jāpierāda savas spējas F3, bet kas varētu būt nākamais solis? Protams, F2 pēc šī iezīmētā ceļa, ko arī Marko Asmers atzīmēja, F4, F3, F2, F1, būtu visloģiskākais solis, un kā izrādās, tad Ralfs Ārons un viņa komanda jau ir apsvēruši šo iespēju pievienoties F2 čempionātam uz šo sezonu.
We were already looking into F2 for this year, but it's just in F2 there are pretty big differences in the teams and also the budgets. I mean, an F2 budget is almost twice the size of F3, so that was one of the main things that we couldn't get a top drive in F2, in a top team, so it didn't really make sense for us to go this year into a midfield team and pay twice the money we could pay in F3. So we decided we will push another year in F3, try and get a result. And then I think it's a lot easier if you have a good result in F3 to get a drive in a top team in F2 than to go to a midfield team in F2 and then try and do something. So actually our objective is to race in F3 this year, get a good result, and then go to F2 in the top team. And we actually have a similar arrangement with Prema like we did in F4.
Ar nākotnes plāniem tuvākajiem diviem gadiem, tā kā mēs būtu tikuši kārtībā, tātad tikt pie laba rezultāta Formula 3 čempionātā un tad tikt pie labas konkurētspējīgas komandas Formula 2 čempionātā. Bet mans nākamais jautājums bija par Ralfa Ārona tautību. Kā tad tas fakts, ka viņš ir igaunis, ir ietekmējis vai nav ietekmējis, palīdzējis vai traucējis viņa līdzinējā karjerā, un kā cilvēki ir uz savādāk uz viņu skatījušies tikai tāpēc, ka viņš nāk no valsts, kura varbūt nav tik labi iezīmēta vēl pasaules motoru sporta kartē?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's... I don't want it to sound bad, or I mean, I don't want to complain, but definitely sometimes there are advantages to being from France or a country like that, for example, because England, because they have big programs over there. I mean, car racing needs a lot of money, and just Estonia doesn't have huge corporations that could give out millions just for racing or whatever. And definitely sometimes, I mean, the FIA is run by the French mostly, and there's a lot of inside interests from countries like France and England to have drivers at the top of the formula ladder, let's say. And it definitely sometimes I feel like those guys have a little bit of an advantage, but I don't think it's the thing that decides whether you're going to make it or not. So it's really... They might have some small advantages, but I think if you work hard enough, it doesn't make a difference whether you're from Estonia or France.
So maybe you can just have to put some extra effort in your work, but...
I mean, it might... Yeah, maybe. But then also, the people over there aren't stupid, and if they see that you come from a small country, you manage to push through it, they also appreciate that, because they know how hard the whole thing is, and they definitely take that into account, so... If you make it from a smaller country, I think it might actually be an advantage.
Lūk, kāda atbild no Ralfa Ārona visiem tiem skeptiķiem, kas uzskata, ka nākam no mazas valsts un nevaram neko izdarīt pasaules vai Eiropas līmenī. Bet ko tad Ralfs Ārons ir sagatavojis uz jaunās sezonas sākumu? Kāda būs viņa taktika sākot jauno Formula 3 sezonu?
To win a championship, for example, it's really important to do all the work in the winter and be strong in the first three rounds, is what I think. It was the same case with us in F4, that we started out really strong, and then it's hard to catch someone when they have started out strong, because the first three rounds, if you have your stuff sorted, then I think that's where it can actually make a huge difference, because when you go within the season, then everyone more or less finds what they want on the car and so on with their team, and everything starts working out and there are small differences. Everyone is more consistent. But at the beginning of the season, everyone is less consistent and it's easier to make bigger differences and lose more points. I think the winter time is really important to get yourself ready physically, mentally, and to get everything ready with the team.
And how many testing days do you have before the first round?
So in F3 there's allowed 6 official days and 6 private test days, and our plan is to do all the six official test days are before the first round, so we are definitely doing all of them, and our plan is to do most of our private test days also before the first round, because our mentality is that you have to be strong at the beginning of the season, and if you lose that many points at the beginning and then have a couple of test days during the season, I don't think that gives us an advantage. So with Prema we decided we will more or less use all of our test days before the first round.
Jaunajā sezonā Formula 3 čempionātā turklāt startēs pat 2 igauņi. Bez Ralfa Ārona būs arī viņa nedaudz jaunākais kolēģis un tautietis Juri Vips, kurš faktiski pēc savas karjeras uzbūs iet Ralfa Ārona pēdās, kā nu ne, jo arī viņam par padomdevēju ir Marko Asmers. Tātad tā ir viena liela komanda. Marko Asmers pieskata 2 igauņu jaunos talantus un abi diezgan līdzvērtīgi šobrīd un arī diezgan veiksmīgi kāpj uz augšu pa formulu karjeras kāpnēm. Šeit arī jautājums, vai startējot vienā čempionātā, kur, protams, viņi trasē būs sānceņš, bet ārpus trases tīri teorētiski kolēģi, vai tas kaut kādā veidā palīdzēs vai traucēs šajā attīstībā, jo tomēr Marko Asmeram būs savu uzmanību jāsadala uz 2 sportistiem?
I think it's, to be honest, I think it's more an advantage than a problem, because we have we have drivers in 2 teams. I get along with Yuri well, and we can, we can't share information or whatever, setups or something, but it's always good to get reassurance, you know, sometimes when something is going wrong and then you don't know whether it's you or maybe it's a car or something, and then you have someone to talk to in another car and they say, oh yeah, they have the same problem, then it's good for confidence, and I think it's more of an advantage that the two of us are racing there than a disadvantage. I mean, Yuri is a great driver. He won an F4 championship last year as well, and I don't think there is much that I could help him with anymore, because it's just, we're both at a level that we're already good drivers, and then it's the same thing that Marco says, it's that he doesn't really have anything else to say on the track when you're driving, because we're at a level where we learn ourselves and work with the team. So definitely there is some tips, but always drivers have their own little secrets, and then I think Yuri has his secrets, I have my secrets, and it's not really, I don't consider myself as like I could help him a lot.
Intervijas noslēgumā Ralfs Ārons arī pastāstīja par savām attiecībām ar presi savā dzimtenē Igaunijā, proti, ka galvenais kontakts vienmēr ir bijis ar specializēto motoru sporta presi un žurnālistiem, un diezgan apzināti viņš un viņa atbalstītājs Stoker kompānija ir izvairījušies no kontakta ar dzelteno presi, kas varētu būt tikai uzmanības novēršana. tik jaunam sportistam. Pēc šīm divām intervijām pēn un šogad Ralfu Aronu, protams, esmu kļuvis arī par viņa fanu un personīgi ļoti ar lielu interesi sekošu līdz Formula 3 čempionātam. Līdz ar to ceru, ko ievilkt šajā fanošanā līdz kādu no jums, jo nemaz tik bieži negadās, ka mūsu igauņu kaimiņi spēja startēt tik augstā līmenī, turklāt šobrīd joprojām tā trajektorija ved uz augšu. Formula 3 sezona sāksies 12. 13. Maijā ar ielu trases sacīksti Pol. Pilsētā, tas ir Francijā, savulaik starp citu arī Haralds Šlēgelmilks, tur ir startējis ar ļoti labiem pat panākumiem. Ielu trases patīk gan skatītājiem, gan arī pašiem pilotiem. Tur sāksies F3 čempionāts, tā kā gaidam maija vidu, tad būs arī pirmie rezultāti no Ralfa Arona. Bet tikmēr atgādinu jums, ka šis podcasts, protams, būs atrodams arī F1LV portālā, tāpat sekojiet līdz mūsu Facebook lapai, kur atrodams ir video. Īpaši par Ralfu Aronu, tur arī par to laiku, kā viņš sāka startēt kartingā savā dzimtenē. Bet es no jums atvedos, mans vārds Aldis Putniņš, un sekojiet līdz, cerams, tuvākā laikā jau ķersimies klāt nākamo podcastu ierakstīšanai.
F1LV podcasts.